Okay, so the topics I have.
Superman breast reduction. That's still selling like crazy. New Duke Nukem footage. I guess we gotta discuss that a little bit. 12 Duty 4 sold 10 million across all platforms. You can play Deus Ex for free on Game Town. Which event for Grid last night where a 16-year-old won a $90,000 car.
What?
Yeah. Bruce Willis may play Kane in the Kane Lynch movie.
That's
And the, And the Fallout 3 terrorism thing.
And then do a couple questions and playlists. Sound good?
Yep.
All right, then.
This is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 135 for June 5th, 2008. I'm your host, Dan Stapleton, and with me today are our editor-in-chief, Kristen Salvatore.
Who rocks the party that rocks the body?
I don't know. Who does? Is it you?
No. It was a question. It was a question, not a statement.
Oh, okay. And it could be any one of us. Or any one of you, the listener. Our senior editor, Logan Decker.
Hello.
And our producer, Andy Bauman.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, it's going fairly well in that there's some major news that that we get to sort of announce, in that Crytek has come out. They're working on a new standalone Crysis expansion. So it's its own game. But it's you know, a continuation of Crysis. It's called Warhead.
Yeah.
Where you play as Psycho. Is he British or Australian?
I think he's Australian.
I thought he was British.
And you know what? I'm probably wrong.
I thought he was a British SAS. Is it SAS? Is that correct?
SAS is British, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Does anyone know what SAS stands for?
SAS.
It's Special Air Service.
Oh. I guess that's...
Sounds like stewardesses.
That's all more British, right?
Yeah. Instead of when you hold down the middle mouse button, instead of like strength, you'll get like British terms to speak, like spew.
Right. You get British rhyming slang.
Yeah.
Cocky rhyming slang. Right?
All this trash talking he did in the game.
It'll spawn a crumpet.
And just to put the mystery to rest, that is our cover story for our next issue. So everybody who was thinking it was going to be Diablo 3, sorry. It's not. But Crysis is pretty cool too, we think.
Warhead.
Oh, I'd say so. It looks, well, Chuck wrote the story and he says it looks amazing. He's the one who's seen it, but
yeah, the screenshots.
The story looks amazing too.
The screenshots we've seen. And we Chuck saw it in action. We just saw the screenshots, but the screenshots alone look amazing.
So are they improving on stuff, like the engine wise?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And we can't go too much into it yet, but they are very conscious of the reputation they got for being, you know, too high end, that, you know, you couldn't run this without a supercomputer. So they are taking that into account in the new version. So
I was just going to say, back to the screenshots comment, I always think it's a really good sign when screens come in and our lead designer, Dan Fitzpatrick, goes, whoa, he makes like a big noise, and he did when he saw this. So
keep an eye out for that. Kristen, when is that issue hitting?
The issue, see, that's the August issue, yes?
Yes.
So let's see, it started shipping to subscribers, I believe, yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday.
And it will hit newsstands June 24th, so subscribers could begin getting it really any moment.
Yeah,
check your mailbox. It could be there now.
Yeah. There's a Warhead in your mailbox.
It wasn't there yesterday.
Well, it just shipped out.
So. It just started shipping yesterday.
Yeah. But and that depends on, you know, how close you live to the distributor and what your mail service is like. So it could be, you know,
whether or not your mail carrier is a PC gamer.
Yeah, they might borrow your issue for a while.
Right,
you'll get it dog-eared.
I'm convinced that my mail delivery person borrows my Entertainment Weekly sometimes. Because that stuff always used to come. My old apartment, that showed up every Friday, like clockwork. Every once in a while, now I get it on like Monday or Tuesday. It looks
with
there's like,
rings
like there's like fried grease on the corners, right?
but yeah. So and that'll be on stands when for everybody who's not subscribed.
June 24th.
Yeah, and we can't put that one online anytime soon. So, you know, it's not our choice. If we could, we would. But that's, you know, EA says only in the magazine for now. So other big news is that Valve has announced a new complementary service to Steam called Steam Cloud, which will allow you to, among other things, schedule matches and have like RSVP for players, so they can say yes, I'll be there. Beyond just, you know, the scheduled things, like we have like the PC Gamer night on Steam or on our Team Fortress 2 server. But this allows you to set it up so that you can say, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. You know, it's kind of like an Evite for games. Mm-hmm. And they will actually respond and let you know they're going to be there, which is cool. And also the thing that I think I'll get a lot of use out of is they will actually host your save files for you, your save games.
I think everybody's going to get a lot of use out of that.
I've
certainly everybody in this office.
This for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess they finally decided that it's practical. I mean, they put out their Steam survey results not too long ago, showing that the vast majority of their users have broadband. So I guess the question I have is how much hard disk space is this going to cost them? Because save game files often are not small.
Could be substantial, but then again, storage space is pretty cheap these days. Like never before, you know.
Right, right. On the other hand, we just got kind of a talking to by our IT department. You know, when we asked for more space on our server, because apparently the drives you use for this kind of thing, with the like redundancy in case something goes wrong, are actually about 10 times what you pay for a, you know, your Western Digital drive. So it's still not a cheap proposition.
Yeah, I don't know. We're also not a company that's currently, our bread and butter is not, you know, digital distribution, which is very much something that Valve talked about at that event. The fact that, in fact, digital distribution is becoming their bread and butter. One of the things that they discussed was the fact that within, I think they said the next quarter, their digital sales will actually overtake their retail sales. So I'm thinking, you know,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a separate question.
I'm thinking
question.
It's worth it.
It's kind of, yeah, I'm sure it is worth it for them to provide an excellent service that, you know, will keep them on top of the online distribution game.
Right.
But it is kind of a different investment on their part. Going from being bandwidth, you know, heavy to actually, you know, keeping these servers that are responsible for not only the bandwidth that would be, you know, sent back and forth for save games, but also the storage.
What do you think the average size of a save game file is?
Well, the funny thing is, if it's like a console port, the save game file can be, you know, 100 kilobytes.
It's little, right?
You know. But, I mean, there are save game files that can be, you know, like
20 megs, 30 megs.
Yeah, 20 megs. But that includes, like, super high-res screenshots for the loading screen, that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of fat to be trimmed in a saved game file. And Steam may be possible that they encourage, you know, developers from now on to, hey, keep these file sizes at a minimum, and loading screens for gamers on Steam will be shorter.
Well, I mean, Valve themselves, they have the screenshots in their save games for Half-Life.
Yeah.
So who knows if they'll change that in a patch.
And I'm sure you'll still have the option to keep them locally if you prefer. Mm. But this certainly sort of backs up their idea that your Steam account is associated with your username, not your computer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is all part of that. You know, where you go is where your Steam account goes. And
Which is very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my laptop, I can play the same games.
It's logical.
Yeah.
Which is something you don't see a lot of these days.
and like, you know, it's such a business dude's term, but there's so much value in it, you know? Oh, my save games, I can get them anywhere. And I don't have to carry around this, you know, USB stick that I always forget to transfer my save games files to anyway.
Right.
Isn't there another advantage is if you have like a unique control scheme, it'll carry that over as well, like all your settings and control.
It'll save your key bindings.
Yeah,
it's very cool. And Valve had a lot of good things to say about the PC gaming market in general. A lot of people are taking this out of context. Like somebody on our forums was saying that, oh, you know, they're totally biased because they're a PC gaming company and you can't trust them. Blah blah blah. You know, they're saying that the PC gaming is like thriving. It's not really what they said. They said that the market isn't shrinking. It's actually growing a bit, and the numbers they see from online distribution are not at all reflected in the NPD numbers that everybody is basing these predictions of doom and gloom on. And they pointed out once again that Blizzard's income off of WoW and other MMOs, around the industry is also not reported. So by their numbers, the industry is actually growing, and growing industries don't die.
Mm-hmm. It's funny or sort of sad, but an interesting example of how the media works, that everybody is more than willing to quote NPD numbers that I consider at this point a patently false representation of what's going on in PC gaming, since they only measure one part of the industry. I actually found a quote this morning from somebody at NPD saying, you know what, we've started measuring online, I guess, I'm not sure if they're measuring MMO subscriptions and digital transactions, but NPD themselves have said, listen, we actually think that non-retail sales of PC gaming are healthier than retail sales. So as soon as we announce that, the fact that anybody is still pointing to the existing NPD numbers to indicate what they think is the health or lack thereof of PC gaming, didn't know what they're talking about.
And another interesting argument that Valve made in this presentation was that the consoles, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo they spend multiple millions of dollars every year, monthly, promoting their product, and at the expense of everybody else. Like, they're saying this is the place where people play games, our console. So, and the PC doesn't have that. You know, there's nobody there saying, the PC is where people are playing games. Mm-hmm. So that's where they think a lot of the perception comes from, that people aren't playing games on the PC.
Yeah, we don't have a brand camp yet. We've talked about that on the podcast before.
Right. Whereas I do think the NPD's figures, they're obviously, everybody knows, they're way, way, way behind the curve. But on the other hand, I think NPD is struggling to figure out how do we quantify all this stuff, especially when we're working with publishers that don't necessarily want to cough up their figures that easily.
Yeah, Valve themselves, they don't tell people how many games.
Yeah, so it's very difficult for NPD's, I'm sure they've been working for some time on, like, how do we do this? How do we get a reliable figure that we can give, to analysts and industry groups? And I'm sure they're probably talking to everybody going, look, this behooves us all to start being more open about information so we can show people that this, what's really going on in this industry.
Because, yeah,
No, go ahead, please.
I don't know if that simple incentive is going to be enough for private companies like Valve and like, I guess Blizzard isn't
we'll
private,
see.
But I don't see them really coughing up that information, especially the ones that aren't even as successful as Blizzard and WoW and Valve. Just because,
well, then we'll have to beat it out of them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you need to give them a free set of steak knives or something. How do you get somebody to sign up for a bank account? But you know what the thing about that is also, guys? It's reaching the point where it will behoove Valve and Blizzard to announce those numbers, because all they're really doing is hurting the industry that they're in. I have to imagine that they're clearly, those guys know how to run their businesses. They know it's important to contribute to the health of the industry overall. So,
One company that is readily sharing their sales numbers is Funcom. They're shouting from the rooftops.
I was just going to say they won't stop sharing it.
Yeah, they've sold 500,000 copies of Age of Conan so far, which in the first 2 weeks, which is not bad at all. I don't even think WoW sold that well the first couple weeks.
Considering it's an M-rated game, and they've sold already 500,000 in 2 weeks.
I think that's why they've sold 500,000 in 2 weeks.
That's true. Yeah, people are tired of all the bloodless fun combat in WoW.
And who can blame them?
It's a new flavor of blood.
It's not like I was down on Age of Conan, but I would never have guessed it would have sold that much and that fast.
Yeah.
A friend of mine could not get a single copy here in the Bay Area. When it launched, not one, called everywhere, and just couldn't find one off the shelf copy.
Yeah, it's doing very well despite an accidental a mistake on their part that
cosmetic
shrank
dehancement.
Yeah, it actually shrank the breast size of the female avatars in the game. This is an accidental, a side effect of a patch they put out that just, I guess, erased some of the information in the character creation
in the breast code.
Yeah. I'm just shocked that like that number, like that variable was somewhere that could be affected without affecting everything else. You know, like it didn't like change the size of people's noses at the same time. It's like they're just separate.
I would love to believe that this was somebody having fun, because it got great news traction. It really did. People were apparently all up in arms about it.
Let's be realistic, though. If it was somebody having fun, they would have made everybody's breasts bigger.
Good point.
Yeah, and they would have. They may have given all the men big breasts too. So
I know I would.
That would have been awkward.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, forget it. Moving on. Nothing to see here, folks.
I think we all know what Kristen was going to say before she stopped herself.
Oh, no.
So we'll just leave it at that. So, but I guess speaking of, you know, big sellers, Call of Duty 4 apparently sold 10 million copies across all platforms. They didn't break it down to, you know, who sold what exactly, but they said that the 360 did sell the most copies. Presumably after that came the PS3, and after that the PC. But you know, it all adds up to 10 million. Every little bit helps.
I still see commercials constantly for it all the time. The advertising push was amazing. Plus, the commercial's really well done.
Yeah, it is a phenomenal looking game, and unlike with Call of Duty 2, they didn't have to make a pre-rendered video that, you know, made the game look better than it does.
You know, but I'd be willing to bet more copies sold on PC than PS3. Maybe not, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the numbers that have, you know, kind of like the rumored numbers were, you know, less than a million on PC, but
right. I heard close to like 500,000.
Really?
Yeah, which is still respectable. You know, that's a good solid number for the PC market, and they probably made money just on that.
Now, do you think Steam helped out their numbers a lot?
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, I bet
mean,
so.
It's been available on Steam, and like a lot of us played it off of Steam, and we know, you know, a bunch of readers have written in saying they got it off of Steam. So I'm sure that they did see a bump from it. But, do you suppose when Duke Nukem Forever eventually does come out, it'll be on Steam?
That's a good question.
I know they'll delay the launch on Steam maybe for a few extra weeks just to draw it out even further.
Mm-hmm. But there was some Duke Nukem news this week. There was a little bit of video that came out on a new show on, was it Crackle.com?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
And I guess it's on Xbox Live.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of in-game video from Duke Nukem, which is like the most we've seen of it. I guess a year or two ago, actually probably, about 2.5 years ago, Dan Morris and Greg Viderman saw it running. So, but since then, we hadn't heard much out of him.
It's sort of a funny video. It's not even like direct feed. It's just like a guy with a handy cam, sort of like watching a monitor.
Yeah, but you do definitely hear the signature Duke voice, and you get to see the shrink gun, you know, in kind of grainy, not very good video. But you know it's in there, so that's reassuring.
Can it possibly live up to the anticipation? Is there any possible way?
I think
it will depend on everyone's expectations going in.
Right. And so. I think kind of the high expectations at this point are kind of gone, aren't they?
Right.
A high expectation at this point is that
snake has eaten its tail.
Is it raunchiness? Is it, at this point, I can barely even remember playing Duke Nukem, you know?
Yeah. And it's just the humor and attitude of that did so well, and the creative weapons, you know, the shrink gun.
That's true.
It was a lot of fun to be able to freeze somebody and shatter them or shrink them and step on them, and, you know, but those two step kills, I guess, where the fun was.
But you know, after BioShock, after Painkiller, after, you know, Serious Sam, man, you know, and, it's.
Well, did any of those games have strippers, Logan?
You know what, they didn't. That's a good point.
There you go. That's
stripperless.
Never underestimate the stripper factor.
Yeah.
Now, we should point out that there were no strippers in the video that was shown, so we cannot verify we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of strippers in Duke Nukem Forever. But
you know what? Whenever there's a party, there's strippers. So I think the odds are pretty good.
But if you want to go back and play a game, I guess this came out significantly after Duke, but also considered a classic, you can play Deus Ex for free on GameTap. And I just went and tried this out. All you have to do is watch a 30-second ad before it starts up, and you're good to go. That's brilliant. I like
that's
that.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. Why don't you know when they do? I guess they kind of do the same thing with movies, right? You know, the new Die Hard movie comes out, and they show the other one on TV,
right?
And why not? You know,
and you know they're doing this online with video content. You gotta go to Hulu.com and like you can watch 28 Days Later, and there are some ads in there, like 30-second ads, but the movie's free. So, and I watched that last weekend on Hulu on my girlfriend's laptop. You know, it's just,
wow.
And I guess there were a lot of like constant Kmart ads. Like every half an hour there was an ad,
uh-huh.
and it was like the same Kmart ad every time. But yeah,
Nothing
still
with the dead.
Yeah, still very reasonable for a free movie. And unlike on TV, when you see a movie with ads in it, it's not cut all to pieces. And you know,
that's no good.
I highly recommend it, especially if you missed Deus Ex somehow. I think it was either 99 or 2000 that came out. So, you know, it's shown its age, but it doesn't look like a bad game still. It still, you know, has its charms graphically.
Plus, it's the kind of game that you play it for an hour and a half and the graphics you don't even that's not even the
right, you just kind of
the
forget
main
about
thing
it.
Anymore. Yeah. You're it's so immersive that you're just in the world after a while.
Yeah.
And this is what GameCube has. I saw it on a press release not too long ago. Something like 150 free games now.
Something like that. Most of them are like mini arcade games and stuff like that. But this is a significant one. I think I did read recently that they are planning to get the original Fallout on there soon, for the free play. So I'm really looking forward to that. Although I have that game, so I would just play it myself. But
yeah, but I'll do it just because it says free. You know, because I'm a cheapskate.
Right,
even
right.
If I own the game, even if I'm already playing it, I'll shut down my purchase copy and play it for free on GameTap just because of the bargain.
Yeah, or you know, you can give your purchased copy to a friend.
Yes.
And you know that you can still play it on GameTap.
How does that? Sorry, what are the logistics like? Do you have to watch the ad every time you start up, and how does it deal with like save games
I believe
and
so.
Stuff?
I'm not sure about that actually. I'm sure that it's just every time the application starts. It shows a 30-second ad. At least that's the way it seemed to be set up. I only started it once.
Okay.
But But I would be surprised if it's anything different than that. So last night Logan and I went to an event for Grid, which, you know, sorry for the lack of segue there, but I'm all segued out.
There were some good ones earlier though, so you know.
Yeah. Now I'm done.
No apologies, yeah. No apologies.
You watched some punk. Win a nice car.
Yeah, so Codemasters had put out you can get this on Steam, by the way, is Grid. It's you know, it's a PC version. It's across all three platforms, I think.
Yeah.
It looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, it looked wonderful. The event was held on the San Francisco's Embarcadero, and one of the tracks is the Embarcadero.
Yeah, they had put out a demo on Xbox Live with just that track. So then they took the five guys across the country that posted the highest scores, the fastest times, which were within like four tenths of a second of each other.
Three tenths of a second, I think.
Yeah. So they're all obscenely fast. And they brought them all here and had them
16 through 24, all five of them.
So I think it was 22, wasn't it? Well, whatever. So young guys brought them all to San Francisco and had them compete for a $90,000 car.
What kind of car was it?
It was. I'm not sure what kind of car it was, but it was a race car.
Yeah, you know, it had a pasteurized engine. Yeah. So
pasteurized. And neither of us are car guys, so we have no idea what it really was.
They had
the thing out in front of the venue where it was held, and it was you know this pretty nice looking car. I mean, it's definitely a race car, so it's not like a luxury car, but but yeah,
you know, just something you tootle off to get some milk in. Like,
yeah,
what are you gonna do with a race car? Okay, sorry.
So each kid had to do like five laps, you know, and three of them were qualifying laps, and they did them one at a time. It was just excruciating to watch though, because they were so good and came within just.
There were a couple of I you know they had it streaming out to a bunch of monitors, so everybody was watching, and you know when somebody would brush up against a wall and cost themselves a hundredth of a second. It's like, oh, that's gonna hurt. The kid that won was 16 years old.
16.
Wow.
And why did nobody give me $90,000 when I was 16?
He probably has a learner's permit, right?
Well, he said he had his license, so
he can't even drive the car without his dad in the front seat.
But man, he won by like what, a few tenths of a second, yeah, of course. Yeah. And was still bouncing up and down like one of those Mario characters, you know? Boing, boing, boing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was a really impressive display of Schadenfreude as he was watching the last guy compete. It's like, screw up here. Screw up here. Come on. You know? it was pretty funny to watch. But yeah, and he was obviously very pleased at his victory, and deservedly so.
16 is a pretty early age to learn about prize taxes, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's not going to end up keeping that car because
it's college
insurance.
Yeah, you're gonna pay tax on the $90,000. Then you're gonna pay insurance for it, which as a 16-year-old driving a $90,000 race car. I think the insurance premiums would be pretty close to $90,000.
Can you imagine? That's hilarious.
So I imagine he'll drive that around for a week or two, and then it'll be on eBay.
Some State Farm agent is like, "Yay! I'm going to Hawaii this year.
I'll pay your first month premium."
Okay, onward. Bruce Willis may be playing Kane in a Kane and Lynch movie. And, I got to ask, are things that bad for Bruce Willis? I mean, I thought he was doing well these days.
You know what? It might be a better movie than it was a video game.
But even if it is, I mean, assuming it has anything to do with the plot of the video game, it's like, it's kind of a cliche plot. It's not really...
Making Bruce Willis perfect for the role.
I suppose that's true.
If you don't keep busy, you end up like N.H., you know what I mean? Wandering around the desert, you know, muttering incoherently.
Looking for your spaceship.
Exactly. So yeah. I think it's probably a good idea.
I suppose, casting-wise, it's not a bad choice. I bet when they were designing that character, Bruce Willis was probably somewhere in their minds as a model.
Which one is the one that looks like the guy from House? Kane or Lynch?
I think Kane looks more like the guy
you
from
think?
House.
Is that's yeah. Pretty...
Lynch is, bald, kind of.
Yeah, it's the other one. Yeah, Kane.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of hate to see big names attach themselves to video game projects until, like, it's a good video game project. Mm-hmm.
It's more about Bruce Willis than it is about Kane and Lynch.
Right.
More about, the diehard dude.
Yeah, I don't see this working out well for anybody, really.
Bruce
totally Willis
ready
or any of us.
Die Hard 5. I loved the last one. I thought it was fantastic.
I agree with you.
Except they PG-13 did it.
Yeah, that was no good. That was
bad
no fun.
Move.
I got my money worth. I walked out happy.
Yeah. So, next on the list, Jack Thompson. We don't like to talk about him too much, but this week it's kind of too funny not to because, it's yet another step in the disbarment proceedings, which they are now recommending that he be disbarred for 10 years, and they're calling it enhanced disbarment. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but
it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the best comment I saw online was it's disbarment, and so they throw him out of the building and say, "And stay out."
It's like an extra dose of irony. It sounds like a video game term. Enhanced disbarment.
Plus three disbarment.
Yeah. So he's not gone yet, but it's only.
But I wonder. So okay. So after that, let's see, once it's in effect, are they still going to drag his nasty ass onto the news shows? You think?
I would be surprised if they didn't. Just because he's
so good for a loony quote.
Yeah, and he's in their Rolodex, so
yeah, they don't even know what's going on, probably.
Yeah, and it'd be really nice if next time they do put him on TV, they have disgraced and disbarred attorney Jack Thompson under his picture. That would be much better. And the next time anybody he debates any anybody on the topic of games, they can say, "Hey, Jack, weren't you just disbarred? Does that sting a little?"
I'm sorry. Wasn't that an enhanced disbarment? am I incorrect there?
But yeah. So we'll check in again when as he spirals the drain a little bit more.
Later, hater.
Yeah.
Bam.
Finally, this was a pretty funny little screw up that the mainstream media pulled this past week. I guess it was on last Friday. I was browsing news sites, and I went to the Drudge Report, and like dead center on the page was a picture of like, you know, bombed out Capitol building in D.C. And you know, it said, and the caption was, you know, Al Qaeda terrorist group posts image of destroyed U.S. Capitol building. I'm like, hey, that looks really familiar. And you know, I went into one of our old issues and looked up a story on Fallout 3 where we had the same exact art. This was a concept drawing from Fallout 3, because Fallout 3 takes place in Washington, D.C., which 150 years prior had been nuked in a war with China. So basically what had happened was somebody had gone on like this extremist website, like a message board, and posted this picture saying, you know, this is what we want to do or something. and a terrorist watchdog group had picked this up and I guess released it to the media for some reason. so it all got blown out of proportion. Nobody at the time apparently knew where it had come from. But you know, all the gamers certainly did.
Nice.
But I guess that the anti-terrorist group that monitors these things is called SITE, S-I-T-E. And they came out and said, hey, we never said this was made by Al Qaeda or anybody like that. You know, we just said we found this on a message board, which, you know, is fair. And it was the media that blew it out of proportion, which, you know, and still, do you really think that the terrorists are sitting around drawing pictures of what they think their targets will look like after they blow them up?
The creative ones are.
Yeah, is this how they're spending their time? Because if so, I don't think we have a lot to worry about.
Just the ones who don't want to blow themselves off.
Yeah. The ones with talent who are like, wait, I don't want to die yet.
Wait, you know what? I can draw. Can I do that instead?
Yeah.
And then Bethesda hires them. There you go. Just kidding. Bethesda, I love you.
Yeah. So yeah, that provided a good deal of amusement. Though it did prove one of the fundamental rules of the internet, which is you're never ever the first person to notice anything. Because I thought I was all clever for having noticed this, and then it was on joystick the night before. I'm not sure where they got it, but did they
do any retraction or corrections?
Yeah, like? Yeah. Drudge had a post under there saying, you know, update art pulled from video game. So that was pretty. Actually, they said update art pulled from computer game. So screw you, uh-huh. You know, PS3 and Xbox versions of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
There you go.
So why don't we take some questions?
I don't know. Why don't we?
Very good question. Can anybody think of a reason not to take some questions? Can we need one?
I can't think of a reason.
I have to wash my hair.
I'm scraping.
Hey guys, my name's Anthony. I just got done listening to your last podcast, episode 134, and I wanted to come on E3 and get your thoughts on it. I wanted to bring E3 back to the way it was, but with a couple stipulations. One, you have to put everything back in one building. I heard the stories about you guys running around to hotel rooms. That's kind of ridiculous. Two, you got to tone down the population. I don't know how you do it, but I know one thing. Anyone who creates like a blog 2 months before E3 and tries to go out in there and get a pass to go cover it, it's kind of ridiculous. I don't think they should be able to do it. I think it should be only industry professionals such as yourselves go out there and cover this stuff, and maybe a select few other groups. I just want to get your thoughts on that, because E3 is a positive experience and puts a positive light on gaming in general. it's kind of nice to turn on CNN and see E3 and put gaming in a positive light rather than, you know, have gaming being blamed for some kind of violence in this country or the way kids are brought up. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
I think we can all agree that E3 as it is right now is not getting the job done. Or I guess they're changing it up a little bit this year, but you know, unless it's a substantial improvement. Last year, if they did last year again, that would not be getting the job done. I think that it's kind of a catch-22 though, because if you cut down the population and you know that there aren't that many people there, then the mainstream media doesn't really care. CNN is going to cover an event that's just, you know, a bunch of games journalists there. So I think what the ideal situation would be, in my mind, would be kind of a hybrid event where you have you know, the journalists in one area and then an like an open floor for everybody to come and see, because it's the spectacle that gets the coverage.
Plus, it's exciting for the whole industry. You know, it's like the Academy Awards for the movies. It's something to focus on throughout the year. It's a high point. You know, it's a time when you know you can look forward to great images and great videos from your favorite games. You know, it's something to look forward to.
I think, yeah. And back to what Dan was saying about the present E3 not getting the job done, I think getting the job done, E3, there's sort of two levels of that. There's the first and perhaps most important is exactly what you were referring to, the idea that you turn on CNN and see really great, fun images of the video game industry. And I think that's really important, and the sort of pageantry of E3 is gone. The other part is the reason that we go, which is the actual business of E3, you know, getting to see all the new stuff, getting to kind of have everybody together in one place. And I think part of the struggle has been those two things can tend to be mutually exclusive. It's hard to have, you know, an intimate setting that allows us to go and see what we need to see and talk to the people we need to talk to, and at the same time have this like big fun spectacle that's interesting enough for mainstream media to want to cover.
Yeah, because mainstream media does not want to cover what we would really like, which is, you know, private meetings where we can see what's going on. You know, that's not very exciting for anybody but us. So, we'll have to wait and see what they do this year, because it's still kind of up in the air.
On the other hand, you're always going to have clever people who, you know, if they can't start blogging a couple of months just ahead in advance just to get into E3, they'll try something else. People are pretty clever. Yeah. I would.
I wish they would do something similar to the Leipzig Games Convention, which is where it's a little bit longer. I think it goes Tuesday through Saturday or Sunday, or maybe Wednesday through Saturday or Sunday. And the first day is media and business only. So it's not open to anybody else on the first day. And that was, you know, and that convention center is enormous. It dwarfs the Staples Center in Los Angeles. But it gives you the time to actually schedule a bunch of meetings. And then even when it does open to the public, which is when tons of people come and all the mainstream media comes, there's still a whole section that's called the Business Center that's only open to people who have a pass who can go there. Mm-hmm. So the general public can't get in there. But you kind of get, because it's a big enough place that you can keep those two areas separate, you can kind of get the best of both worlds. Like, I had a great time, but felt like I got a lot done there. So
basically, they completely stole the idea I just gave. That's what
Pretty
you're saying.
Much.
Those bastards. So, and they stole my idea like several years before I had it.
So German.
PC gamer, PC gamer, PC gamer, what? PC gamer, what kind of gamer? PC gamer.
I'm concerned.
Wow. That dude deserves.
Awesome. You're hired.
Yeah, I marked that one for playback just because I wanted to see what you guys would do when that was played.
Was he sampling himself?
Dude, that was submitted this morning at like 8 in the morning.
Is he coming down yet?
He must have been.
He's crashing hard about now.
But he had a big night.
Don't talk to me.
I urge the caller to call again next week. Lay some more of your fat beats on us.
We'll get together. We'll give you some beats to next week. Here's Nima.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Jonathan from Hayward, California. I'm about to hit the drawing board for the Make Something Unreal contest, and I'd like to get your opinions on what makes a good deathmatch or CTF map in first-person shooters good for you. Is it the architecture, the environment, the weapons and item layout, or maybe just the general feel of the map that makes you prefer it over, say, another map? Like, when you play games, you must have certain maps that you play more than others. Why is that? Thank you.
Really interesting question. I mean, because there is so much that goes into good map design. I mean, it's not just one aspect, really. I mean, you've got your weapons, but you've got to design the level to, you know, accommodate specific weapons if you're going to limit the number of weapons that are out there. I mean, you've got to have sniper perches for a sniper weapon, or you know, good areas for launching grenades. There are all kinds of factors in there, and unfortunately, we're not actually game designers, so it's difficult to quantify.
But there are certain maps that we play over and over again, like in Team Fortress 2 or in.
Yeah, I mean, Gold Rush is certainly right. one of the favorites on our server. So I guess that's one of our choices.
Yeah,
smaller maps as opposed to larger maps. I like fast and frantic all the time.
Yeah, and that's another consideration you've got to take into account is how many players you're going to design it for. I guess currently the they want to get as many people into it as possible, just because more people have broadband, you can support it. But you know, there's definitely something to be said for a smaller, you know, 4-6 person map that keeps the action going nonstop with minimal players.
I'm with you on those. I like maps that are more like figure eights, like things that don't have corners where people can like camp and wait, like the stuff that keeps you moving, like you can't ever stop.
Personally, one of my favorite maps of all time is the Quake 1 intro map. When you do
the bouncy one? Was that one test? Q3?
It was like just the very beginning where you can go to all the episodes and there's like lots of teleporters and all the guns are there in the single map. That was like one of my favorite maps of all time. But it's interesting to see how far map design has come. Like TF2 pushes what I ever thought could be done in multiplayer game map making, especially with like Gravel Pit and now with Gold Rush, definitely. Like, there's too much. I don't know. It's gone beyond my comprehension.
And you know, Valve has so much data that they use to refine those maps. I mean, they play the hell out of them internally and track, you know, where everybody's getting killed and how everybody acts in those maps and then adjust them to make sure that it's, you know, equal for both sides and then tweaks the hell out of it. So I don't think that any single map maker could really compete with that. I mean, it's not a fair competition unless you happen to be insanely talented. So if you're insanely talented.
Hey, this is Macbeth from Texas. I just got done listening to the Cat Fantastic episode, and despite having over 100 million points awarded, you all lose for not knowing your own highest-rated game, Alpha Centauri, 98%. Fail. Love the podcast, love the magazine, especially you, Logan. Bye-bye.
I guess out of all of us, I should have known that. But
pretty soon in California, he can marry me.
But I think we've sort of blocked that out, if you want to know the truth. Yeah. And that's sort of considered like a dark moment in PC gamer history when you think
I wouldn't say that. No, I mean, the story behind that one is that Bill Harms reviewed that one, and he liked it better than Civilization, I think 3 was the one that was out. Yeah,
2.
It must
two.
Have been 3.
It was 2. 2? Yeah. 3 yeah. wasn't very good.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to remember which one came out around the same time as...
That would have been Civ 2.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. Yeah, I guess that's 98. So, so he liked it better than Civ 2, which had gotten a 97. So that was the argument there to give a 98. Generally, looking back, that you know, it's not something that a lot of people have agreed with. I actually don't have an opinion on it because I never played it because I had switched to Windows XP, or I guess I had switched to Windows 2000 around then, and it didn't work on 2000. So that was just a hole that I never got to play, you know, a hole in my strategy gaming experience, which shames me to this day. But
was the point of the guy who called in was to shame us all.
He's shamed.
Right. So that's why I didn't know it, is that I never actually played that one.
My shame is that I can't drive a stick.
Really?
What?
Yes, I can't. I'm sorry.
Truth is out.
Neither can I.
I never learned. I just.
I learned on the mean streets of San Francisco, no less. I learned on the hills.
I want to do less in a car, not more. You know, if I didn't have to steer, I wouldn't.
You're like the console gamer of cars.
Ouch!
Bam!
I just never had a
did I have that company?
Stick shift car?
No,
what did I do?
But I don't know.
Wow. Hey, Kristen, is it still bleeding? Wow.
Driving stick is awesome because you have more control.
I was just going to say the same thing. And I mean,
you know what? The kind of people that want more control are not the kind of people who should be on the road. That's the way I'm looking at it. These are the people who should not be driving.
I am totally one of those kind of drivers, too.
Robot drivers.
There's a line in The Great Gatsby where Jordan Baker talks about how is about to get in a car accident, and then she discusses the fact that really it's not her job to look out for everyone else. It's everyone else's job to look out for her when she's driving.
Wow.
Which is a theory I occasionally subscribe to.
Did we really just reference The Great Gatsby? Amazing.
Yeah, you made me take that out.
No.
That totally rocked.
No, it's
as it is, I got a nasty email the other day from somebody discussing the fact that I'm not in touch with our listeners. So.
Hey, do you recall how many people wrote in because we said that the Mona Lisa was painted on canvas?
Huh? But that was awesome.
I know, that's what I'm talking about here, about you know? Our readers are the cultural elite.
They're an erudite bunch, it's true.
Yeah.
I think it's actually kind of an interesting analogy comparing the stick shift driving to PC gaming because it is, you know, one of the things that we like about PC gaming is that we get more control than we do in a console.
And
we get more control over the visual settings, more control over the gameplay, and you know, we can add mods and things like that. And there's all the tweaking and stuff that goes into it. I always like to use the muscle car analogy or the classic cars where you put more money into it, but it's because it's your hobby, it's what you're into.
Is there anything else in any of your lives that you treat the same way that you actually sort of get into like the guts of it and really want to like tweak and fine tune it?
Not really.
There's nothing else. I mean, that's it. That's nothing that I pour as much energy and passion into. You know, I'm nothing that I can't wait to go home and do. You know,
right.
Just like I can't wait to come to work and do it here too.
But you know, it's like those things are. It's not like there's a personality type that really wants to do that though. Because I mean, I've just never been a car guy. You know, for me, cars have always been just a method to get from point A to point B. Whereas you know, gaming is something I really enjoy getting in and tweaking.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
And you only had to punch me in the nuts to make the point. Yeah.
Right.
Very cost effective.
Cooking is the only other thing I can think of that I do that I'm that sort of like, I want to adjust the levels and make it, you know, kind
you
of
know,
try
I'm, stuff. I'm starting
Mind
to you. Really get into cooking. And I think it might have something to do with that as well.
There's something, about like fine-tuning your level of control of
I'd rather tear off every single one of my fingers than cook.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it. I just can't stand it.
Kristen makes a mean melon bar, or lemon bar, excuse me.
Lemon bar, thank you.
You know what I do? I go home and I open a can of tuna. Seriously. And sometimes if I feel really fancy, I'll like take a piece of iceberg lettuce and then dump the tuna in the center of it and put some pepper on it.
Oh my God.
And I will roll it up, you know, and then eat
like
it like a lettuce
tuna cigar.
Like a tuna burrito. Seriously. Like, to me, that is cooking, you know?
That's pretty awesome, actually. I'm going to try that.
And and Logan is our hardware guy. He's the tweak master.
So. I know. Logan, you just need to watch Ratatouille. It'll change your life.
No, that's not true. I've tried it. I've tried cooking. I just don't – I don't have what it takes. Everything comes out gray. Seriously. It's like gardening.
Logan, the main ingredient is not nanobots. That's your problem.
It's the same thing with gardening. You know, I follow the instructions. I water. I put it in the sun. I take it out of the sun, and it dies. It dies in days.
Yeah, I was going to say. You know what? I think the difference might be, with the exception of when you do something really dramatic and fry a component. At least when you're tinkering with your PC, you can sort of try new settings, and if they don't work, you can generally, if you've been responsible, you can kind of revert back to where you were before.
Exactly.
And if you with cooking or with gardening, if it goes awry, it generally goes awry.
There's no coming back.
Yeah.
You never ever get food poisoning working in your computer.
Good point. Yeah. That may be the difference. Yeah. There's something, I don't want to say like safer, but I think that maybe there's something about tweaking your PC that encourages you to push the envelope a little bit more.
Yeah. No, because
you can generally dial it back.
I totally agree. Because I can't really tweak with my video camera. Because like if I break that, I'm out.
You're,
like
six, right.
Geez, you know, like I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
But it's a good reminder when you are monkeying around with anything in your PC, hardware or software, to make sure that you've got a backup. Because that's the worst feeling in the world.
And of course, when you do get into the hardcore stuff and start overclocking things, then you can fry something. So that's where it gets dangerous.
You know what? Even now, even these days, it's not nearly as dangerous as even just 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay, you know? Well, let's say if you decide to install your own water cooling.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But again, it's still safer than it was 2-3 years ago, you know, when things, you know, we had, you know, pipes coming out all over the place, couplings would become decoupled stuff everywhere.
Remember at Maximum PC when we, was it at Maximum PC that we filled a computer with that spray foam? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why it did was, we do yeah. that?
Just, the Grim Fandango foam?
No, you know that stuff you can buy at the hardware store? It's like a spray foam and then it hardens. I think you use it for like, it's an insulator.
Yeah, yeah.
Shipping firm with that now. They fill up boxes with that stuff.
Right,
to,
exactly. Yeah. And we sprayed it on the inside of a PC, but I can't completely remember what we were.
It was
going
a moment of high spirits. You know,
they were incredibly drunk.
Yeah.
In a furniture store. Let's do one more.
Let's bring on another question.
Hey, PC Gamer, my name is Nick. I have a few things to bring up. In your podcast episode 131, you guys said that Crysis won't be coming to the consoles, but I found on a website called digitalbattle.com. It says that it is semi-official Crysis is coming to the Xbox 360. At CES, a Crytek developer spoke to 1UP, where he revealed that they are indeed making an Xbox 360 version, but since the 360 can't do a lot of things that a PC is capable of, like DirectX 10, the gameplay would be entirely different. Also, please discuss Xbox 360 graphics versus PC graphics. I've been having this argument with my friends, and I'd just like to prove to them that PC graphics are a lot better. Thanks, PC Gamer. Great podcast. Keep it up.
You should be able to prove that just by turning your TV on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, to cover the Crysis thing,
yeah.
They haven't announced anything, so officially there's nothing coming. They may be working on something behind the scenes. They haven't told us what their plans are on consoles, so yeah, we can't really say anything about that one way or the other. But all we know so far is that Warhead is going to be PC only.
And frankly, you know what? If Crysis comes to the consoles, that doesn't bother me so much. Let those guys make some more money so they can make more games.
Right. And like, you know, and it happened really. Before.
Yeah, right.
When Far Cry came out, you know, it was the hardware requirements were so astronomical. They thought this is never coming to the consoles. But
and
eventually, they adapted it into Far Cry Instincts, which was a totally different game. Yeah, right. So it sounds like it's conceivably the same situation here.
Right. Although that was also done. Instincts was done by a different developer as well. That was done by Ubisoft.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but just to clear up a few things, DirectX 10 has no impact on gameplay whatsoever. So if something can do DirectX 10, that doesn't mean the gameplay is going to be different. I think that the open environments might have something to do with the limitations of the Xbox. I'm not sure. The one thing that I know that the Xbox is vastly inferior at is texture memory. There is not a lot of texture memory in the 360, and you know any you know reasonably high end NVIDIA card or ATI card is going to have you know multiple times the amount of texture memory, which means you can get you know closer to an object and it's going to look better because you keep zooming in and there's still detail to be seen. And that can make a big difference in how good a game looks, especially since just in the recent years the improvement in visual quality is not so much it doesn't have to do as much with the number of polygons that are being pushed around the screen. Right. It's got more to do with the texture detail and texture shaders
mapped onto them, right?
Yeah. So that is probably the biggest distinction between the two now that consoles are running at 1080p. You know, it did take away the advantage of resolution that we had
actually
for so long.
I can test that. I don't really know a lot about console gaming, but a lot of console games seem to run at 1280x720.
Well, there are different levels in there of HD, but some of them do run at 1080p, don't they, Logan?
I don't know.
Pretty sure?
I'm sorry, I missed that entirely.
All Xbox is at 720.
He was making a tuna lettuce.
Actually, that's a 1080p.
No,
tuna
I was
lettuce.
Checking on this digital battle site for. I was trying to find that story, but I haven't been able to locate it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just had a little absence.
Anyway, but do you know anything about the Xbox hardware capabilities? Does it run a true 1080p, or is it?
No, I don't know. I don't know that. We could find out, but
Yeah, we can ask our buddies over at OXM, but I think that some of them at least do.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Actually, yeah, totally.
You know, not that's from somebody who doesn't actually own an Xbox, but yeah, they are getting, you know, better resolution than they ever had before. So it does at least lessen the advantage that we used to have in resolution. But we still have texture memory, and we still have you know, physics acceleration, and you know, better CPUs.
Seems like, you know, better frame rates in general.
It varies. You know, it depends on the game.
So whatever is going to, if something does come out under the Crytek name for the consoles, it'll be a different game. There's no question about that.
Yeah, well, that's what you know. If the story is accurate, then yes, yeah. that's by all indications, yes.
Yeah, and you know, and just to, when Crysis was talking about, oh, there's so much piracy on the PC, so there's no reason we sell so many more on the console. Well, you know what? I'll bet if they made a game for consoles and then kind of and gave it the reputation of, oh, this is the console killer, it'll bring your console to its knees, and only 5% of consoles will be able to play it the way it was meant to be played, you know? Right. I'll bet you find the sales numbers aren't too hot on that, you know, kind of fall somewhat below your expectations as well. You know?
Well, apparently, though, Crysis did not fall below expectations.
But they've been all whining, you know, but, there's, we would have sold more, you know, it's like,
well, yeah, that's the same old piracy argument.
They were quite proud of being the game that brought systems to their knees, you know.
Right. Well, I think as they came close to release, they started to realize, oh, this is a bad idea. We need to try and ditch this.
Yeah.
But they weren't entirely successful.
Definitely read. There's an in our cover story. There's a great one-on-one Q&A with Shavat Yearly that speaks to a lot of this.
Awesome! I can't wait to read that then.
Yeah.
All right, we should move along to playlists. Logan, you are playing.
I am playing. Wait, what am I playing? Okay, I just finished Dracula Origin. Throw as many adventure games at me as you want. I'm just going to keep playing them until I find one that's fun.
You and me both.
I have endless patience and just keep coming. Unfortunately, you know, it hasn't quite happened yet, but I think there might be one coming up in the near future. It's called Harry Roden. I've never heard of this dude. Some sci-fi dude who's apparently immortal, but they've got an adventure game coming out about him that's got some good buzz on it. But I'm also continuing my slog from Ultima 1 through 4.
I like that it's a slog.
I know. It's just, but when you look,
it's
when
not
you think
like
about
my walk down gaming history lane. Like,
right, it's like I look at it like a marathon, you know? I'm gonna make it to the end. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. It's going to take perseverance. But
are
I'm
you enjoying yourself?
Yes, of course I'm enjoying it in the same way that a marathon runner enjoys himself. Does it hurt? Absolutely. But are you going to do it? Is it going to feel good at the end? Oh, absolutely. You betcha. Okay. Is that a little neurotic? Yeah, maybe.
Drink your Gatorade.
Right now, I'm on one.
Okay. And what are the highlights?
It's unbelievably... I'm still digging on the nostalgia because it's one of the first games I ever played when I was a kid on my Apple II. Hmm. And, you know, just seeing the little white guys, little icons walking around, it's a blast, you know? Hmm. But until, you know, it's limitations, you know, it's obviously not the game that aged the best. I'm very much looking forward to Ultima 3 and 4, you know, but I just want to get a feel for how things began and how they progressed. Could make a good feature story.
Oh, hey, you know, we just got an email from Codemasters about that contest that we were talking about, where the car given away was, let's see, it was given to a kid named Timothy Blunt, 16 years old. It is a one-of-a-kind Mustang. Let's see, the eBay Motors Muscle Series Mustang. What are some of the other details here? I'm not sure, but yeah, it's a Mustang, so... $90,000. Good car. Oh, supercharged engine with 445 horsepower, a race-inspired ported exhaust system, 20-inch GTR concept wheels, and a six-stage custom Pearl paint job, complete with eBay Motors graphics, a.k.a. ads. So, anyway, Kristen, what are you playing?
I finished LEGO Indiana Jones yesterday. So I don't want to get too into it because I'm going to write the review.
The game's out, though, so.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm still trying to figure out why exactly I think LEGO Star Wars was a more charming game. Mm-hmm. You know, this had a lot of the same, obviously a lot of the same elements, and there are some really cute, kind of quirky little things that they do with the little Legoized characters that sort of speak to the characters in the movies, and that was fun. But there's more logic puzzles in this one, which was sort of weird, and I don't know. I think maybe just Star Wars is an inherently more charming story than the Lego movies, than the indie movies, which I love. I love them both. But it wasn't awful. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it as much as I liked Lego Star Wars.
Now, you did have a secure ROM issue, didn't you?
Kristen, angry. Yes, everybody had to deal with me stomping in here on Monday morning. I had the game over the weekend, and I had saved it as this, like, treat for myself, because I did all this like stuff on my apartment this weekend. I cleaned the place and did all of these chores, and so I'd saved the game for myself as a treat to play on Sunday afternoon, and I installed it and I went to play it, and I got the dreaded, you have an emulator installed, please uninstall or disable the software before you can play the game. Well, of course I have I haven't been stealing anything, I haven't been sweeping.
Kristen, why are you such a pirate?
Why am I such a pirate? I know.
Why?
Yar.
she just can't help herself from stealing everything.
So I think we've traced the problem to the fact that I have Roxio installed. I should add that I've never used it. It came pre-installed on the machine that I have. But I was so angry. And this was, I think we traced it to Roxio. It never dawned on me that it would be Roxio. And I of course, spent a bunch of time online looking at, I guess a lot of people had the same problem with Lego Star Wars. That's the other thing. I didn't have that problem with Lego Star Wars.
Did you try playing on that machine, though?
Let me think. I played that when I first got here.
It's kind of a moderately new laptop you've got on there, isn't it?
No. It wasn't the laptop I was playing on.
Oh, really?
It was my Dell desktop at home.
Oh, okay.
The one I've had for a while, yeah. I can't remember, though, to be honest. I know I played Lego Star Wars here at work and didn't have any problems, but I can't remember if I played it on that particular machine at home. Right. But in all of my searching the internets for information on the known issue, Roxio never came up in anybody's list of stuff that you should be possibly uninstalling. I guess if I had thought about it, I would have uninstalled it. It kind of makes sense, but yeah. So
too
I
angry
was
to think.
Really mad. I was really, really mad.
But I'm dying to know if Major Tot's face melts off.
Oh, you want to know?
Oh no! I'll wait. Oh, wait.
You sure? Okay.
I'm sure they probably did something clever with that, so I'm going to wait.
I'll wait.
Okay. It's not that clever.
Oh, okay.
Most of the clever... this time it was more about... Did everybody play Lego Star Wars?
Yeah.
Did anybody play Lego Star Wars?
I actually want to go back and play it.
They did do a lot of clever kind of with the little cutscenes. And this time there wasn't as much clever as there was with sort of some tee-hee jokes. It was more of like a hee-hee. And there's actually a bunch of Star Wars references in the tee-hee jokes in Lego Indie, which is kind of cute. But it wasn't quite as cheeky, I think.
There are a bunch of Star Wars references in Indiana Jones itself.
Yeah, this was more overt.
Right.
You know, at one point you're running around someplace and you're running around a little town and you run past Cafe Obi-Wan.
Well, no, that's in the movie.
It is?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's the second movie, which I only saw once. I hated so much that I never saw it again.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that is actually, speaking of that particular episode of the game I was telling these guys yesterday, the one kind of cute thing that they do is everybody remembers that Kate Capshaw, the Willy character in Temple of Doom, everybody sort of hates her.
Everybody hates,
yeah. And she has that really annoying habit in the movie of screaming all the time. And her little Lego character, if you walk her up to an object and there's nothing for her to do and you hit the action button, she just starts going, ah, like in the movie. So that's kind of cute.
Yeah, the Cafe Obi-Wan was where the fight scene was in the beginning of Temple of Doom.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that was actually the example I was going to give when I was saying that there's Star Wars references in Indiana Jones.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe I should give Temple of Doom another try. You said you liked that movie.
No, I didn't.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, it was you who said you liked it.
I said no such thing.
I have actually at times, like, the trilogy has been on cable or something, and I have just stopped in the middle and come back.
That's
from Last Crusade.
That's completely absurd. It was
such a bad movie.
Minecart ride. Hi.
That part
did
is.
You get, did you get up during that part? Did you go to the bathroom?
Well, that part's cool, but
I wanted to go to the bathroom during much of that movie. Stick my finger down my throat. Anyway,
he pulled this dude's heart out. What part of that did you not like?
Golly, golly, ma!
It was still beating.
Anything where they add a kid sidekick, like the new one, is annoying.
You know what? If you had somebody's heart getting pulled out while it was still beating in Sex and the City, I'll go see that too.
I'm with Dave.
You can
kids and animals, sir. No, no.
Promise, I'll go. No problem.
I think there's a monkey sidekick in Sex and the City too.
Bad dates.
I was disappointed that nobody asked me not to talk about Sarah Jessica Parker that way, but okay. Anyway.
Oh boy.
Anyway. So Andy, what have you been playing?
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And
the PC version?
Of course the PC version. And since I'm not really a game journalist, I can spew hyperbole all I want.
Go for it.
Best game ever. ever.
How far are you?
Not that far, I don't think, at least. I've only done a couple of the main mission, planet mission thingies, whatever you want to call them.
And already best game ever?
Oh, it was best game ever 5 minutes in. I don't know. It's got so much charm to it. Like the way it's I think it has to do with the way that they present a lot of the dialogue in these like shots, if you will. And it's like they finally, you know, have a depth of field. Or a lack of depth of field. So like, and it's beautifully shot. Like it's not too close up. It's like wide shots, but the character is in focus. The background drops off out of focus. It's beautiful. And I don't know. I love the universe so far. All the aliens. It's like the perfect mix between Firefly and Star Trek, and all this goodness to it.
I didn't see a whole lot of Firefly in there.
I think to me the Firefly is like the you can travel around these untamed worlds. Maybe that was the sort of the Firefly-ness to it. But also, I figure that like I made a kind of unique looking female character, and so it's like, and I'm so into her, and I also know that she's like into the character, like the Shepherd character.
She's totally into you too,
dude. Yeah. I know, but I the cool thing I think about is like no one else made a character that looks like her yet. Like it feels like she belongs.
You're
so
right.
Well.
She's Andy. Have you seen Lars and the Real Girl?
you're missing my point.
Wow.
I think it might be on my Netflix queue. Let me check. Yeah.
Andy, I got one URL for you.
Yes, me and my wife have.
Me and my love bot.
I've got one URL for you, Andy. Realdolls.com. Oh. That's all I'll say.
Oh.
But, no, but like, it's, I don't know. You know what I mean, though? The characterization of her is like perfect, but I know no one else has had a character that looks like her. weird, but it makes sense in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that same thing about any game with like real character customization, facial customization.
No way, I don't think so. This one takes it.
Really, I made some butt ugly characters in Oblivion that I'm pretty sure nobody has ever had anybody that butt ugly in their game.
Yeah, but you didn't have cutscenes with her talking or him talking. You know.
Okay, that's true.
So,
but actually,
basically,
you know what? Have you played Age? Oh no, I guess they don't talk in Age of Conan.
No.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But yeah. So what you're talking about is how seamlessly they integrate the character that you created into the story and
yes.
make it seem like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I really liked it. And my review you can see at gamesradar.com/PC. Which no longer on the front page, so sad. But it's but yeah, I certainly like the game a lot. I'm still looking forward to going back and playing again. Are you playing as a good guy or a bad guy, Andy? As much as you can.
In the middle right now. I've got some points. I'm more renegade than Paragon. But
oh, really?
I've still got a lot of points into Paragon so far. So
what did you do that what was your most renegade-y act so far?
I don't know. I think I just sass. Oh, I think one time I was sick of seeing a cutscene before I got into a fight, and I was just like, just kill him. You know, instead of trying to negotiate.
Uh-huh.
And I think that
there are several fights that you can talk your way out of.
I know. I haven't been able to do that yet.
Yeah. I think I finished my first playthrough with only like 1 point in Rogue.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't even know where that came from.
Your 1 point?
Yeah, wow, I already have like a bunch, and I didn't mean to, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard to go through without getting any rogue points. I guess I bet on the 360 they probably have an achievement for that, but no achievements in the PC version. That's kind of disappointing when they don't. And like with Sins of a Solar Empire, they have achievements within the game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they could do that, just you know, have it its own little self contained achievement thing that doesn't go anywhere, but you know, you can always say you did it. But you know, if they've got them in there anyway from the console version, why not just put them in there for the PC version? But it's not a big deal for me. I mean, like I've said repeatedly, I don't really see the point in achievements that much. I mean, it seems like an artificial replayability thing that I find like transparent, and it's like well I don't really want to do that just for those bragging rights, but. But yeah, so what character class are you playing as?
I'm an infiltrator, of course. Anybody knows me knows I love sniping, so there you go.
Yeah, I played as a Vanguard.
Oh, what does that do again?
They've got biotics, and they're good with pistols and shotguns, so it's close range combat.
Cool. Yeah, I kind of think that being an infiltrator is a little bit hard. Maybe. But I'm getting better at the... Like, I put so many points into sniper rifles now that I just, like, own everything from far away.
You just got to get Rex and...
Rex and is the best.
And, like, the Turian guy, probably, to absorb some damage. Mm-hmm. I guess he's not big on damage, but I guess he can wear medium armor, I think. So it's pretty good to just put them out in front of you and absorb as much damage as you can.
Yeah. Do you ever fight... I'm wondering... And I don't know if this is a big spoiler, but one of the sort of sci-fi pitfalls I think it hits hard is that all of the enemies are robots.
Well, not all the enemies. I mean, there are a fair amount.
Okay, well,
of pirates.
I guess what's the Krogans? True, I guess. All right.
Never mind. You fight a significant number of Krogans.
But it's like so many robots, and you're like.
There are a lot of robots, and here's my main problem with the game is the inventory system.
Okay.
How have you been liking that?
I guess I haven't had to deal with it. You know, I haven't gotten encumbered yet.
Yeah, you never do.
Oh, really?
No, you can carry an unlimited number of things, and it actually gets to be a hassle because the inventory sorting is so bad.
Right.
That, and it doesn't even, like, stack, you know, items of the same type. So when you're, like, trying to buy and sell things, it's just
a
mess.
It's hard to figure out.
Yeah.
I guess that I've been... turning so much crap into Omni-Gel that I haven't, because I thought you'd get encumbered.
Yeah. No, you're pretty buff.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and Omni-Gel is not all that useful except for hacking. I was hoping it would be a little bit more Omni-y.
Yeah.
You know? Omni implies it does lots of things.
Good
but
point.
It really only does one thing. But anyway, without going... Without going on too much about Mass Effect, you know, check out the review online. I have been playing a preview build of Political Machine 2008, which it's not quite done yet, so I'm not getting the full benefit. I'm still waiting for the final build, but I'm having fun with it. I wiped the floor with a Bush, who was his vice president. It was like I think it was Robert E. Lee. He chose as his vice president, and I had like a 48 state sweep. It was awesome. Although it was on, you know, low difficulty level, and the AI wasn't yet using all of its tools that it's available at its disposal. So I can't claim, you know, total victory yet. I'll have to wait for the final. But that's a fun little game. You know, I think it's going to be well worth the price when it comes out, because it's not even going to be a full price game, and it's very well timed too.
Politics.
Well, you know, it's a strategy game, and you know, I was talking to Brad Wardell at Stardock about it, And he was saying that, well, you know, if you just replace the candidates with, you know, a wizard and the and all the little political operatives you have with, you know, goblins and elves or whatever, you know, it's pretty much the same strategy game as anything else. But you know, it's still fun. I mean, it's about, you know, getting your I guess that's not exactly true, because I can't think of another strategy game that's about, like, influencing territories in this way. It's a very different game, but fun. I like it a lot.
Cool. Is Dan Morris really into it at all?
I played some multiplayer with him of Political Machine, the first version, and we had some fun with that until we figured out kind of how to game the system. This one is deeper than that. So once it comes out, I'm going to force him to play me a couple times. I'm going to kick his ass.
That was a call out. You just called him out.
I did. I will go on record.
Duly noted.
We're done.
We're wrapping up.
It's done.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So thanks for coming this week, and we hope you will join us next week as we discuss more more and more interesting PC gaming stuff, like we did today. That was rambling and incoherent, wasn't it?
May you have a fantastic week. Every day, may your dreams come true.
And play
Mass
Effect.
You better be back here next week.
And you wish
except for next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, no dreams come true.
No. None. Sorry.
Yes.
But 6 out of 7 is not bad.
You just have to enjoy the dream that came true on Tuesday.
And look forward to Thursday.
Is this going in? Are we still rolling?
Sure, absolutely. Why not?
All right, word.
Yeah, all right, sure. So send us questions at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. What's the phone number, Andy?
Oh, it's 1-877-404-1337, extension 724.
And keep those to a minute and relatively clean. And also go to gamesradar.com/PC, and you'll see a place you can subscribe for the magazine. All right, for myself, Logan Decker, Kristen Salvatore, and Andy Bauman, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you next week.
All video game shows suck. Like,
yeah,
the freaking
a valid question.
For the who's sake?
I could make. What's that, Kristen?
Who is he? It's Scott Miller and
Broussard.
Is that? I've never actually met him in person.
Did you guys hear about Jeremy's deal that he's been working on?
Core.
Yeah, we sort of knew about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm guessing you guys
internally.
Yeah. It sounds freaking awesome. I haven't checked it out, but
it's amazing. Yeah. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, a buddy at work was like, I heard, what's the girl's name?
Veronica Beaumont.
I heard Veronica Beaumont's in a new podcast, and I was like, dude, that's the guy that I took over the podcast from. I was like, all excited to tell him about it.
She's my carpool buddy. But yeah, are we ready to start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh my god, I never put that together. All right.
What do you think she was doing in the building?
I don't know. I just okay. I would have let the terrorists through, obviously, had I been working really the CIA way back.
Logan has let a number of terrorists through in his day.